Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, that's right. It's time for Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to Waipapa Taumātoro, the University of Auckland. We're very lucky to be joined by Dr. Emma Lydon in the studio. Morena, how are you?
Hi. Thank you. Good morning.
Oh, so great to have you in. Really excited to talk a little bit about your mahi and your research. You're a pharmacy researcher at the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences here at UOA. And you've been doing some really interesting research about asthma inhalers and their carbon footprint.
That's right. Yeah. So I just came across some research a couple of years ago showing that the carbon footprint of some of the inhalers can be really, really surprisingly high. I mean, I'm an asthmatic myself and I'm a pharmacist, but I just didn't know about it till I found this out. And it's really, really surprising. It's because of the propellants in the inhalers.
Right.
So I think like everybody thinks about the
plastic,
like the plastic.
Waste. Yeah, plastic waste.
But that's actually really negligible compared to the carbon footprint of the HFCs that they use inside the canisters.
Right.
Right.
And it's really quite high. So like someone's added up what the carbon emissions are over the course of a year, and they've shown that if you were to switch from a from one of the traditional gas-propelled inhalers to a dry powder alternative, it's similar carbon savings to if you adopt a plant-based diet.
Wow.
Whoa.
So I was like, well, we've got to try and raise awareness about it.
Yeah. So is this essentially the same sort of emissions that you get from, like, aerosol cans and stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the HFCs are, like, actually quite inert and they're not, like, harmful to people at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they, when they're released, they go up into the atmosphere and they trap carbon dioxide.
Right.
But, yeah, and so, and they stay around for quite a long time. So, yeah, that's where the problem comes, yeah.
Fascinating. So talk to us a little bit more about the dry powder alternatives and what that entails.
So they're already available, and obviously they don't actually have any propellants in them. So the carbon footprint of a dry powder inhaler is about, well, say a gas-propelled one, it would be about 20 kilograms carbon dioxide equivalent, whereas a dry powder one is less than one.
Right. Wow. Huge difference.
And not everybody can use them because often, like, children are still prescribed the gas-propelled ones because you can use them through one of those spaces. I don't know if anyone's seen those before. But
yes.
Yeah. But the dry powder ones are equally, if not more, effective. They're a good option. If your asthma is, like, already well controlled, then we wouldn't recommend switching because just carry on doing what you're doing. Because if your asthma becomes less well controlled and you have to go to hospital, the carbon emissions associated with a hospital emission are huge. And obviously also we don't want you to have an asthma attack and have it out. Yeah.
No.
So, but if you're not fully happy with your inhalers at the moment, then that's maybe a good opportunity to ask about the dry powder ones instead.
So the best thing you can do for your carbon footprint is look after your health and
that's
look after
exactly right.
Your asthma.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So another study has actually shown, like, poorly controlled asthma has about 3 times the carbon footprint of well-controlled asthma. So it's still better, even if you can't use the dry powder ones, just to stick with the ones that work for you.
Right.
But just make sure that your asthma is as well controlled as it can be.
Okay. And if you're looking to switch up your options and you want to move to the dry powder alternative, are those, like, equally as funded and easy to get from your GP and such?
They are, yeah.
Right.
They are. And the other thing to ask about as well is there might be like a 2-in-1 option. So traditionally they always used to keep all the drugs separate, but now they're moving more towards doing like a combined reliever and maintenance therapy.
Mm.
Or if you take 2 different drugs, there might be one that's like a 2-in-1.
Mm.
And obviously that's got a lower carbon footprint and it's also just less inhalers for you to take.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many people in New Zealand have asthma?
1 in 8. Whoa. One in eight. Yeah, it's really high, and it's actually gradually creeping up, partly because of climate change, because it's influenced by air pollution and like pollens and allergens. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle.
Mm, it is a vicious cycle.
So that's expected to be more than one in eight eventually.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Wow. Yeah, and it's also getting more severe as well. So
totally.
So is your hope that we'll eventually phase out HFC treatments for asthma?
Yeah, I mean, they are trying to develop propellants with a lower carbon footprint, but they've got some legislative problems with that, just because even the alternatives that they're trying to move to, they will want to phase those out eventually as well. And they have to test to make sure that they are totally, you know, inert and safe to use.
Safe and I guess also effective because you were speaking about when asthma gets really out of control.
Yeah.
That's also incredibly detrimental.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Mm. But then the dry powder ones are kind of already available. So it'd probably take about maybe, like last time when they moved from CFCs in the 90s to the HFCs that they use now, that rollout took about 10 years. So even if they're supposed to release them this year, but even if they do, there'll be a 10-year lag before they kind of reach the market.
Right.
So it just seems like it would be better to try and think about what we can do now.
Okay. So what's going to be the next steps for your research, do you think?
At the moment, we're trying to quantify what the carbon footprint of different asthma treatments available in this country are to give some comparisons. And then the main thing that I want to do is understand what people actually think about that issue. Like, do they think that it's something that we should worry about, or do they think like health is like too far and should just stick to making environmental changes in other areas of life? That's fine as well. But I'm especially interested in hearing what young people think, because we know that there are generational differences in how people think about climate change and how receptive they might be to ideas. But equally, younger people might also feel more guilty about climate change and things like that. So we don't want to spread the message in the wrong way that makes people feel guilty for medicines that they really need and that can save your life.
It is an interesting one, eh? The sort of social attitude towards it all, and the sense of personal responsibility for climate change and how far we should be changing our daily routines.
Yeah, I mean, I was devastated. I'm like, when I worked out what my carbon footprint would have been from my asthma treatment through the course of my life, if I'd have known when I was younger, I wish I'd have known and I could have swapped. But they just didn't know back then. But I think that people should have the choice.
Yeah, I mean, particularly in the 90s when they were using CFCs, which are just, you know, so proven by now to be shockers. Oh, it's interesting.
So fascinating. And really interested to see where this goes and how our asthma treatments will change over the years. Thank you so much, Emma. So cool to learn a little bit about your mahi.
No worries. Thanks so much.
Thank you to the University of Auckland. That was Ready, Steady, Learn.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.